Episode 3, Season 2. I guess you're supposed to say the season first, then the episode. But that's right, this is not a high-level production. Could be another one of our endless themes in this show. But we're going to talk about soup. Olivia insisted on this. I was dragged along somewhat willingly, but I just don't... I'm not as much of an expert on soup as you. Would you say that soup is your favorite kind of food?
Oh, I don't like to speak in definitives like that.
I don't think up on a podcast with called Arguing About Food, that sort of thing would be appropriate.
Oh, I mean, I have some strong opinions about soup. No, I don't think it is my favorite type of food, but I think it's up there. And I also think that it can be really indicative of what type of cuisine, like regionally, geographically, country, worldly. So it's an important topic in my mind. And I'm a little bit more passionate about soup than you are, I think.
Well, you're probably the most passionate person about soup that I've ever met.
Really? Because it's funny.
Well, you picked ramen.
I talked to a lot of friends about this. And yeah. Everybody is like, yeah, soup. And one of my best friends in the world always asks people, like, one of her first questions is, top three soups, name them right now. It's, like, very important as far as her quantifying her friendship with people.
Okay. Well, I mean, I obviously haven't met enough people. But, considering that you said that pho and ramen, you tried to shoehorn both of them into your top spot on the Objectively Best Foods podcast.
Which was maybe a voyage on the show. That was a misstep.
Oh, okay.
What
would it be now?
It is, they're still in top foods, but they're so different and it's not fair of me to even put them together, so much so that I've now quantified my favorite soups into noodle soups and non-noodle soups.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm up there.
Yeah, no, we haven't talked at all before this. I've got some soup tapes as well, but yeah, you got this lined up here, so just take us through it. What do you want to talk about with soups?
All right. Well, first of all, as we get into the cold season, we start to call this, soup season in Chicago. I know that that's not necessarily true in Northern California, but the Midwesterners, the Northerners will start saying, this is soup season. So you start to activate your soup spidey sense, whatever. And there's even a group, and I don't know if it's regionally based, but I am part of it on Facebook. The very tiny amount that I still participate in Facebook, one of them that is important to me is the Soup Society. So it's a society for soup lovers. And I just start to get excited about making and enjoying soups when it drops to what it is right now, which is like 45 degrees outside in Chicago.
Can I tell you the only Facebook group that I ever started?
Mm-hmm.
It is relevant to this show. This was back in 2004, 2005, back when it was still called The Facebook. And yeah. So I was just trying to like make my profile look good or whatever. And so I started a group for lovers of Sushihana, which is the all-you-can-eat sushi place in Tucson, Arizona for $19.99 that me and my law school buddies would go to and attempt to put out of business bi-weekly.
You would talk about that very often to me.
Did I ever make you go there?
No, I visited Tucson once?
Yeah, I guess that was for my graduation. Sadly, even I wouldn't have gone to that all-you-can-eat sushi for $19.99 restaurant for my graduation. Although I probably should have, honestly.
It might have been, but anyway.
Oh my god!
Well, yeah, that's a really great group to have started. I am not sure whether or not I ever started a group on Facebook. So that would have been a cool one.
Can I ask you something?
Places in Chicago. What?
So if there is a soup season, does that imply that there is a season in which soup isn't as good?
That is what it implies, sure.
Yeah. You or at least a hot soup.
Yeah, you can take it how you want, but I order hot soup even during the summer. Soup season is where your bones are a little bit chillier, you're getting adjusted to the temperature change. Again, this is not a California thing, really. But you start to like crave soups more, and they're slightly more enjoyable than they would have been in 90 degrees. Without getting into like my favorites, I'll say like, oh, do I want a big hot bowl of chicken noodle in August outside? No. So you get into soup season when it's like more comforting and it envelops you. That's it.
Okay. So what is your construct here? Since, you know, we prepared so well for this show.
Yeah, right.
I know exactly where you're going.
So I want to talk about our favorite soups, and I'd like you to name a few of yours, and I will name, you know, 8,500 of mine. and then, you know, I'm going to put some divisive shit out there. So do you have some favorite soups? And we don't have to talk about each one individually, but do you have, you know, favorites that like make you feel warm inside, regardless of their temperature? They're like, you know, part of your nostalgia or something like that.
Well, let me begin with this. Now that you've got me thinking about soup, I think that I was kind of done a disservice just being reared in pretty much like a Western-centric food and soup culture, because soup never really growing up was just a full meal. I just wasn't really exposed to those kinds of soups. And I think part of why I'm still retain that bias to some degree, that even if I have like a big bowl of ramen or something, and even if I'm full, I feel as though I have to have something solid with it. Even if there are solid things in the soup, somehow I feel as if I haven't had a complete meal if all I have is soup.
That's interesting. And I can relate to it in the fact that I grew up with you. Most of the time, soup for us was not a meal, but I have adapted at least to the point where soup can be all I need. In fact, sometimes I won't finish a ramen or like a pho, right?
It's hard.
Yeah. Noodle soups can be like really rich, really, really, almost like you're burning calories to eat them. Like there's like some effort there. There's some slurping. There's navigating different ingredients, trying to get your perfect bite. So I truly believe that those types of soups, the ones that are designed as full meals, are. But when we're talking about, cream of mushroom, cream of chicken soup, chicken noodle on the side of a sandwich, yeah, that does not necessarily a full meal make, especially for a growing child.
Cream of always really did not sound that good to me. Because again, my initial exposure to soup was, okay, which of the 97 different types of Campbell's soup? Not even like, you know, chunky soup. We're talking just like regular Campbell's, Andy Warhol style soup.
Hell yeah.
Which of these 97 ones are we taking home? And there's, you know, cream of cauliflower and broccoli. And I'm like, but they don't have any cream in them. How can there be a cream of broccoli? You can't extract cream from broccoli. That's, and just cream and broccoli, that doesn't sound very good to me either. There are just not many cream ofs that just like sound good to me. I wonder
what the etymology is of that naming system. Like,
yeah.
Because it probably came from like, I mean, I'm totally guessing here, but like French soups that were creamy celery soup or creamy asparagus, whatever. And Campbell's just went cream of, and that was the way to do it. Right. I don't know. I mean, that's my guess.
Also creamed is not a creamed corn or something like that. That's not too good either.
Yeah, but that's not a soup unless you turn it into a soup. Which,
all right, so I've digressed far away from your question. Yeah, yeah. My question is, or my answer is, you know, I wasn't really eating like these full meal soups until, you know, probably I started eating pho maybe like after college or something. So, and then ramen, I didn't even really eat ramen that much until I met Ashlyn, which was like, you know, I was like in my 30s at that point. So I think that like ramen is an easy number one. Like that's the only soup I would say that I like truly crave on a regular basis. And there are many different types of ramen as well, but it's the noodles, I think, is ultimately like the texture of those curly wheat noodles. I like the straight noodles, but those curly ramen noodles,
especially the Star brand.
You can't find that anywhere else. And then just the complexity, your tantamen, your tonkatsu, your it just seems like, and they take so long to make, and they're Japanese. The Japanese just are amazing at anything like that, that just is very involved and has a process to it and the amount of pride that's taken in it. So ramen is the one thing where I'm just like, man, I like gotta have this. Everything, pho is like, if I, there's maybe like a couple of amazing pho's, but there's a lot of pretty mediocre pho out there too, I would say. So yeah, those are probably the top two that I actually like really go out of my way to get, because everything else is just kind of an accoutrement.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, so those are the only soups that you kind of like really give a huge amount of credit to. Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, I wouldn't even say credit. It's just that it's not like, okay, a lobster bisque, right? Like I'm not going to just only have a lobster bisque because it's not substantial enough. I need some noodles in there. I need some meat in there as well. Like something that's just a pure liquid without many ingredients in it, and particularly without any carbs and without any meat in it. That's just, as I was saying, that's an accoutrement.
Mm, right. Well, but that doesn't mean, I don't want you to limit yourself, Nate. We don't need to say this has to be a full meal. Are there any other soups that you really love, even if they are an accoutrement?
Yeah, surely any kind of like just about any kind of a bisque is going to be pretty good. A crab bisque, lobster. I might even like crab bisque more than lobsters. I'm more of a crab guy than a lobster guy. Certainly like the Spanish cold soups, like salmorejo, which we had a bunch there. And that was probably my favorite. Better than gazpacho because it doesn't have cucumber in it. Gazpacho is good too, but the salmorejo was the stuff that really was amazing to me. Cold, like almond-based soup. I don't think it's technically a gazpacho, but from southern Spain, I can't remember what it's called right now. But that stuff is really good too. So I like, and that's at least like refreshing on a warm day. All right, have I talked enough now? Can we shift to you?
Yeah. So let's do this. I'm gonna shoot at you my five top soups. And by the way, none of them are noodle because I'm such a soup aficionado that I feel like talking noodle soups is almost a whole different category. But I want you to just shoot it down or tell me that you agree that it's a good soup.
Okay.
So French onion is really up there for me. How do you feel?
I would like it if it were a different cheese than Gruyere. Gruyere is okay, but I think I'm just, it has just that slight amount of funkiness to it, which I personally am not a fan of. I appreciate those who appreciate that. I'm not as big of a fan of it personally.
Yeah, I think you and I might have, you know, I love all cheeses. I haven't met a cheese I won't eat and enjoy somehow. But I think you and I both have this like Alpine cheese thing. It's not what we like are really into, like Swiss. Anything that's like angling towards the Alps. I don't think either of us really, really, truly enjoy those cheeses.
Gruyere is Swiss really cheese is much better. Swiss cheese is much better as a metaphor than a cheese.
I love that so much. I'm going to use that. But you like the caramelized onion part. You like the crispy big bread crouton at the top and the melted cheese part. You're just not a huge fan of Gruyere. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's one of my top.
But yeah, the onion aspect of it still doesn't have, I mean, I guess like the like bread stuff that's in there is pretty good. Like that's getting pretty close. The one thing I will say though is the French onion soup takes about 20 minutes to cool down to an operative temperature.
20. I think that might be exaggeratory, but it's very hot. When it does get to that temperature, can we put it at when it's at Nate Duncan's mouth temperature? Is it okay? With the Gruyere?
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. No. It's not among the best, though, to me.
Moving on. Broccoli cheddar soup.
Next.
What if it's in a bread bowl?
The broccoli is just, it's not a good flavor. You probably have like little bits of like the broccoli flour in there as well.
Which is awesome.
Really serve a purpose. It doesn't serve a purpose other than getting stuck in your teeth. So yeah, it's just, I mean, sure. Like, is there probably a good broccoli cheddar soup out there that I could eat and enjoy? Yeah. But it's just, it's like, you really got to dress up that ingredient. Also like the cheddar, how much cheddar is actually in there? Like I want it to just be
too much cheddar.
Yeah. Like, I want it to be a little thicker. I want it to be almost like, you know, a mac and cheese style roux.
We're moving on to the like epic finale of this episode too fast. Let's move on. The like lemon chicken rice soup, the Greek one that I always pronounce wrong. So I'm not even going to try. How do you feel? You've had this?
So I guess where I come in on some of these is even like your traditional chicken noodle soup as well. The broth is just a little too thin. It just doesn't quite have enough flavor to it. Like I'm just always wishing that it's like a ramen or a pho broth. It's sort of like it's too watery, I would say, at that point.
Well, so the best of those that I've had, and I really, when they're good, that's why they're in the top five for me. Get that like starchiness of the rice and or maybe pasta. Yeah. Some of them have had like orzo versions, you know. That starchiness really thickens the soup and gives it a creaminess that even without cream, you know, feels very enveloping. And it's one of my favorites. But
yeah, I think if you're at that point, sure. I think I'm a fan of. So these are some of your top ones that you're throwing out there.
Oh yeah. These are my like top five that are not technically noodle soups. Next would be, and I feel like you're gonna not hate this one, gumbo.
So, yeah, it's just like, it's better as jambalaya though.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize they're not entirely the same spice, but I'm like, I'm kind of eating it and I'm always just kind of wishing that it were jambalaya.
That's interesting. Yeah. I prefer gumbo.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just, you wanted to do this. I'm sorry to just like shit on your soup parade here.
I don't care that you're shitting on the soup parade. What I was concerned about is that you wouldn't have opinions.
That's never a concern.
I prefer gumbo to jambalaya. And especially after being taught by one like true Louisiana born person, but even more importantly by my good friend who's lived there now for 10 years, how to make the proper gumbo roux. It's such a fun process. It's so rewarding. It is rich and the flavors are developed more than almost any other soup that exists. I'm surprised. I thought you'd be in on gumbo.
Yeah, it's solid, but I would rather just order something else at a New Orleans food style place.
Yeah. Well, it's also part of the reason it has my heart is it's one of the only foods that I allow green peppers into. For the most part, I avoid them like the plague.
Yeah, maybe that's why I don't like it as much.
It might be. Well, a lot of Creole cooking has the Holy Trinity instead of mirepoix. So like celery, onion, green pepper instead of celery, onion, carrot, basically. I think I'm getting that right. I don't want to screw it up. Oh, I think the Holy Trinity might have garlic. Ooh. Anyway, but the addition of the green pepper for me always scares me. And I know it's necessary in the flavor development of gumbo. And I love this stuff.
Yeah, I think that and just like there's usually big chunks of celery in there too sometimes. Yeah, I guess that's probably one of the bigger reasons I'm not.
Oh, yeah, you need celery. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've come around to it, okay, but I'm still, it's just, again, it's not my absolute favorite. I mean, gumbo is a good, like, it is, I would say, one of the better Western soups, but also still just not that great to me.
Well, you might like this. So Jake taught me, my friend Jake, he taught me how to make the roux properly, and then also taught me that there's a strange way of eating it, maybe not strange, strange to me, where you put potato salad on the bottom of it instead of rice. So, like, you eat your gumbo with potato salad in it. It's pretty great. You might like
that. I'm being too negative here. We should just move on.
Okay. Well, we're moving on to the last one. And this is a segue soup for me on purpose. Cream of mushroom soup. Now, one, I'm talking about mushroom bisque, which I love. I love mushroom soups. I think they're amazing. But when I say cream of mushroom soup, I am actually talking about the Campbell's cream of mushroom that I use in my green bean casserole every Thanksgiving, even though I know how to make it from scratch, but I like this, you know, stupid Campbell's stuff in there. I'm going to let you just make a comment on mushroom soups in general, and then I want to bring up my last point here. So, how do you feel about mushroom soups?
I am evolving to like them more, but I don't think that the cream necessarily does the mushrooms any favor.
Really? So you just like sort of more of a, like, I don't know, mushroom broth or chicken broth-based mushroom soup?
Yeah. Not even that. I mean, I think, I don't know that it's even mushroom soups. I'm just generally trying to like mushrooms a lot more. Oh, I did just think of a Western soup that I love.
Mm.
Shapina.
Yeah. See, you're helping me get into this next subject, but is Shapina a soup or a stew?
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
I mean, I think it's thin enough. So Shapino, for those who don't know, it was actually invented in San Francisco, kind of an Italian thing. I think it came out in North Beach, but it's like a tangy red broth, tomato based, with basically just every kind of shellfish and fish that you can throw in there. There are a bunch of great places in San Francisco that make this. I haven't encountered it elsewhere, though I haven't looked for it, but it's definitely one of the better soups I've had. Yeah.
Well, that's why I also didn't include chili. Because I don't really think of chili as a soup. I think of it more as a stew. However,
yeah, I mean, like, when you even, like, at some point, you even get to, like, sauce, right? What's that? That was gonna be my question. Like, when do you transition away from soup?
Hey, Duncan, this is why you're my brother. My point here is, if you put soup on anything, it is a sauce. Any sauce that is served warm, if you eat it with a spoon, like, there's enough of it, it is a soup. What are we, you know, like, we're splitting hairs on this whole thing, and I totally agree. Basically, cream of mushroom turns you into sauce, and I don't know, like, think of a sauce, like, velouté can be a soup if you're eating it with a spoon. So it's, you really hit the nail on the head. I'm so happy. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, is that like, that's a selling point? I guess at some point it can't be soup anymore then. But that you're saying it's not, that anything can be a soup and anything can be a sauce.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't, like, the debate with my friends anyway is, you know, ranch can't be a soup. This is clearly a condiment. And we did this in our condiment episode.
Yeah.
Ketchup cannot be a soup. These are cold, you know. Yeah, maybe they are a sauce, but they're a condiment and they aren't ever served warm. But any sauce that is warm can be a soup. I
disagree on that. Like, there are sauces that you just, like, trickle on top of a piece of meat or something. Like, that's, and it's called hot sauce even. Like, that's not necessarily, it can't necessarily be a soup. Like, you have to have a certain volume of it.
Hot sauce is not served hot, usually. It's still a cold sauce, right? I'm saying any hot, temperature-wise, sauce. All you do is pour enough of it in a bowl and eat it with a spoon, and it's a soup.
Yeah, no, I'm not buying this at all. No, I'm not buying this at all. Because first of all, you could just, like, you know, there's some like Dijon sauce that you're putting onto, you know, or like even like a Bernaise sauce or something maybe.
Yeah. Right?
Like you're no, Bernays because especially when it's, if it's like, too works. Rich, like, okay. Or even like a Hollandaise sauce, right? Like you're not, you can't just eat that with a spoon. That see that to me, that is the difference, right? If it's just, you're going to eat this thing by itself with a spoon. Now you're, it's not a sauce anymore.
All right, fine. And by the way, I've been given this argument many times and that I'm not dying on this hill. But the other way around, what do you think? Any soup that you, like any soup can be a sauce.
No, I don't think so because they're too weak.
What?
There are a lot of soups that are too weak. That's kind of like these brothy soups are too weak.
Well, but what if you are adding enough starch into it? Like, so now you've got this pho. That is like thin brothy soup ish. I mean, it's got a lot of
richness. Even a pho, like, and that's okay. You're going to add a bunch of starch. And now you're changing it up so much that it's a different conversation.
I don't know, man. All right. But I also am really happy to have had the segue where you understood how my brain is feeling, which is that sauce equals soup, soup equals sauce. It might not be true. And I'm not dying on this hill. I got another one to die on at some other point.
Well, so what do we need to talk about next then? The noodle soups?
Yeah, I think the most important part of this would be what noodle makes the best soup. Like, regardless of culture, region, whatever, what noodle do you think is the best in a soup?
Oh, certainly that curly ramen noodle. I think that, yeah. Like, it's so chewy. Like, that's the thing you're missing with a lot of these noodle soups. Like, the rice noodles in pho, for example, is like, it sticks around longer. Like, you get more bites out of it. It's starchier. The slurpability of it is superior. Yeah, it's got to be that starchy ramen noodle.
Okay. And weirdly, I think, do we both not really love the egg noodle soups?
Cow soy? What about cow soy? That's actually cow soy. If that counts as a soup, that's probably my number two. Actually, yeah, no, it I think it does. Yeah, because you're given a spoon with that. Yeah, cow soy actually. I guess I should have prepared. Yeah, cow soy is a very solid number two behind ramen.
All right. Yeah, because I mean, I got tom yum, although that's not noodle based, but or it doesn't have to be. Bami, amazing. I agree with cow soy. I hadn't thought of that one. But what I was trying to say is, the German egg noodle, I shouldn't say German because it's not just German, but the European egg noodles that, like, we traditionally think of in chicken noodle soup. Meh.
Yeah, I think they're like a little too thin, a little too slippery, not chewy enough. So a little too insubstantial. Don't have that much flavor. It's hard to divorce it from the soup itself, but those soups just don't have anywhere near the complexity of flavor as the Asian soups.
I agree. As far as quote unquote Western soups go, I much prefer dumpling soups like matzo or like chicken and dumpling soup to our white people noodle soups. I mean, just my preference. I like the dumplings better than the noodles. And including, by the way, pasta fagioli, which is like such a weird soup to me. Like, why have these strange tubular pasta shapes and then also beans? Have you had pasta fagioli before?
Yeah, I didn't care. I mean, anything with beans in it, I'm like whole beans, just not going to be.
Even chili?
Yeah, no, I like beanless chili much better.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, so egg noodles to me should be reserved for dishes that are not in broth. I like them fine. They have their place, but I don't know. They're not my favorite in soups. But yeah, the ramen noodles are the best. I like almost any rice stick noodle. Even the clear one, you know, like very thin, the thick pho style ones. I like them all. But I agree with you. Ramen, best noodles. So
I have another soup for you, actually.
Oh, yeah.
You ever heard of this before? I've only had it at one place. It's this place called Annapurna in Seattle that Ryan took me to. It was just down the street from his house. It's called I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong. Sippin Luk Tentuk, a traditional Tibetan style soup.
Uh-huh.
It is a traditional Tibetan style soup cooked with egg noodle, minced lamb, and Tibetan spices. And holy shit, is it spicy. It is, it's just one of those things, particularly because it's a soup. Having a spicy soup is so different than like a spicy solid food because it enables the liquid, which is spicy, to just penetrate every nook and cranny of your mouth. Like, you can't localize it. Some spicy stuff, it's like, okay, if you swallow it fast, or you kind of only get it on one side of your mouth, or maybe like it doesn't hit your tongue, and so you can kind of skate by. No, if you have a soup, your entire mouth will be on fire. You're breathing in the steam. Your nose is burning. This is, I've never finished it. I made it about halfway through, but it's just like such an intense experience, like going into a sweat lodge. By the end of it, you're probably just,
but it sounds like punishment.
You're by the end of it, you're probably actually flavoring the soup with your own sweat as it's just dripping off of your face with each bite. But it's just like, I enjoy this is a little bit too much, because I can't finish it, but I also, there is like a little bit of a pride to it, but it's just, it's one of those things, like Ashlyn talks about all the time with yoga, where one of the biggest things about yoga just in general, and I've noticed this in my life too, is just simply being forced to be present, right? Like, this forces you to be present. Whatever people are talking about at the table, no, you're not even going to hear that anymore. You're just locked in on finishing the soup. Every bite, just like, it's just like this mission. You just have to continue to plow through it. Especially the way Ryan Adams eats, like, he's just this metronome where he never like moves his arm very fast to bring his spoon into his mouth. He just sort of like continues to move it at a very slow speed, but it also never stops at the same time. And so you're just, it's really this incredible feeling to just be like so locked in every aspect of your being on just like trying to make it through this, while also really enjoying the taste. I mean, the taste is obviously fantastic. The flavor is fantastic. But to just like, you're utterly centered on your task. I really enjoy it, at least until I can't do it anymore, which is like, you know, halfway through the soup.
That's so funny. You basically are like tripping on this soup, watching Ryan Adams. movement. That's great. I want to experience it, and I probably will be miserable. I would tap out, I would bet, before you. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I'm going to send
you a message about it.
Yeah.
Let's see if you can find it somewhere. We can, next time we're together, we can try to find it. I don't know if it'll be as good as it is at this place, but
yeah. Well, I mean, that does sound amazing. Just for the experience, you know, I'll do anything. You've seen me. Even things that make me totally miserable. So I'm in. Well,
We talked about the ants yet on this show?
No, but they'd be a good topping on any soup, as long as you were just sprinkling them for each bite.
Yeah, so our caretaker for Cora is from Colombia, and her father, you know, we got to know her whole family. So her father sent me with her these ants, and because she went back to Colombia, and then she joined us in Europe. And I mean, there's just a package of ants, but these aren't like, you know, the little Argentine ants like we have here. These are like, they've got like a thorax. They've got,
oh yeah, you can identify these body parts.
Yeah, exactly. And there's like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these are like the size of your thumbnail, probably. Like, they are big, big boys. So we all ate them together. I actually thought they weren't that bad for like probably the first 5 chews, and then you realize that it was still in your mouth after that, and that's when it started to get a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because you had not reduced the shell into a form in which you felt comfortable swallowing it. You needed to continue chewing for like a good 30 more seconds, and those weren't too pleasant.
I love that. I don't know if you thought that was my experience, but it wasn't.
Well, what was your experience?
Oh man, I ate like half a bag. I love them.
They do have a good flavor. Like, they're bad.
Chewy. I also added, I forget, there was some like weird hot sauce type thing that you guys had in the fridge in Barcelona that I like added to one handful. But I've eaten a lot of like crickets and ants in my life. So I was
crickets, I think, would be better because they don't have like the hard bulbous shell.
Oh, see, I like the hard bulbous shell. That's my favorite. I want them crunchy. I eat my sunflower seeds whole, if that gives you a hint at this. I love them. But I do remember very specifically Vanessa's dad thinking that like I was gonna balk. And so I didn't know because they were bigger than a lot of the insects I've eaten. I was a little nervous that I was gonna disappoint him. And the fact is I ended up loving them. So I ate several. I went back, I think, 3 times.
Yeah, I thought I put in a good enough performance to salvage the gringo pride.
Well, you know what those would be good on top of like a bisque? I mean, crunchy croutons.
Do not think that word means what you think it means.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to end on something. I got this.
Well, here, can we do this then? Okay. Well, here, I'll let you finish, but I have something to end on. I have a question to end on.
Okay. I want to ask, of those Campbell's soups that we ate when we were little, what do you, like, if any, do you still have nostalgia for? Like, is there a Campbell's soup that you're like, I would love to eat that right now because it'll just be comforting to me?
Well, I wouldn't say right now, but I definitely go for a chicken noodle, the Campbell's chicken noodle soup, if I'm feeling sick, particularly sick to my stomach. Or even the double noodle. It goes okay with my staple tuna fish sandwich as well, if needed. But generally, the reason I'm making the tuna fish sandwich at this point is I don't have time, so I'm not going to also make a soup with it.
Sure.
Maybe once, like, if I'm making lunch for, like, me and Coro, and she's a little older.
I bet. I feel like that's going to be a thing that you do. Your tuna fish sandwich, chicken noodle soup. But for me, it's the chicken and stars, you know. Which yeah, still
the stars exists. aren't as good as the regular noodles.
No, see, they're amazing because you can either chew them or just swallow them whole. But the texture is amazing.
What kind of a sicko would swallow them whole?
I guess me.
You're just taking out entire star systems.
I'm not the guardian.
Be humane and chew them.
But you could do either. When it was too hot, I would just swallow them, and when it got to a temperature that I could truly eat, then I would chew them.
I do actually have another soup take.
Okay,
especially for a large soup. It doesn't stay at the optimal temperature long enough while you're trying to finish it. Like, you're really only getting it at the optimal temperature for maybe half the bowl, and that's if you hustle.
Yeah. Well, it's like too hot at the beginning and optimal temperature for less than half in the middle of it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that I would say is because you're thinking of soup as whole meal.
Well, that was what I wanted to end on, actually, is the what is your answer to the question of whether soup is a meal, Kenny Bania style?
I mean,
and while you think about it, I'll have an aside that my friends actually, for my 41st birthday, got me a cameo from Kenny Bania.
Oh, God. I love the cameos. It is a whole meal, is the answer. But is it a whole meal in one serving? Depends on your faculties. Ramen in the shop easily can be. One, they usually are in thicker bowls, right? And two, you're working hard to eat this thing and have it fill you up. But even something like a chicken rice soup easily can be, but you might not be able to have a full 16 to 32 in your case ounce serving at once. You might have to refill. It easily can be a meal. It can give you the caloric intake you need. It can give you a balance.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah, these like 1500 calorie ramens that are out there with 9500% of your daily recommended intake of salt.
Totally. But they all can be a full meal. It's just whether you physically can eat them fast enough.
I do find also that the opportunity cost of soup is high as you're eating because it's just a certain volume of liquid. It fills you up I think like just the pure volume of it fills you up more necessarily than a solid food would, even if it has the same level of nutrition. But then it dissipates pretty quickly. I'll find that I'm hungry again much sooner if I have a soup, unless it's just like a really thick soup or has a lot of protein in it. So, but then I also can't eat more with it either if I'm trying to really just go crazy.
Yeah, but you say that about sushi.
No. The take on sushi is different. Sushi is, I just like to eat it first at the all-you-can-eat buffet because when you're full, like raw fish is just like, you're kind of, it's, your appetite gets a little more tenuous when you're really, really full. And so eating raw fish, it's sort of like, I think I'm just going to go for the pizza here because you're just like the raw fish is it's a little bit kind of gross. And so at that point, like your appetite's a little more tenuous. That's the reason for it, right? Like, you don't want to like slurp down a bunch of oysters when you're like four bites away from not being able to cram any more food into your maw.
Yeah, we're so different. All right. I think that what you're saying is true about soup and it filling you up, but doesn't that mean that maybe it's actually a pretty great food for, no, I guess it doesn't. People who are like trying to diet and like limit their calorie intake. And now I see that you're saying
no. I don't think so.
Yeah, because
I mean, you'll be full. Yeah, you may eat less in that sitting, but then you'll be hungry again later. And also soup's just like the most filling thing you can eat when you're trying to diet is just as much protein as possible. Like that's the best thing to fix it so you're not going to be hungry for a long time. And soup is, it's tough for it to fall into that category.
All right. Well, I hear you on that. You got anything else left on soup?
I'm going to be in Vegas next week, so this is not on soup, but I'm going to go to the Caesars Buffet, which is one of my meccas worldwide. So I'll have a full report there on, we can talk maybe buffet strategy.
Dope.
Since you got to talk soups, which I was kind of not as into this time. So maybe buffet strategy, that can be a discussion for next time.
Cool. I'm in for that, ish. But again, like you said about soup, I don't know how much content I can provide. I've been to a lot of buffets though. It's just been a while. I can tell you this. I'm very nostalgic for buffets. I miss them so much.
All right, then. Well, this is good. I think it's getting easier to do this show when we don't prepare at all. That really helps a lot. So hopefully people don't think that the actual quality of these discussions is going down. And we'll be back in a couple weeks or so here.
Hope you guys are enjoying this. I think I might like it better when we don't prepare at all. I think it's pretty great. Nate, I will see you on the other side of Vegas. And I might, FaceTime you for game night on Saturday.
That sounds fantastic. All right. Well, and I want to remind everyone too, if you have any topics that you really want us to hit, if you have a comment or a question that we could read that is related to anything that we're going to talk about, we should probably actually post what we're going to talk about too on Twitter or Instagram or whatever to get some comments.
Oh, you're still calling it Twitter. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm never going to call it X.
Okay, good.
I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with like my opinion of Elon Musk. It's just, it's a stupid thing to say. No,
I understand. X.
It's
too vague. Branding. It's like a letter. I agree. Thank you. I'm just happy we're saying Twitter. We can post the topics for the next week or whenever it is on social media in some platform. And I agree with you. It's a nice touch.
Yeah. You are at Orange Live on Twitter. I'm Nate Duncan MBA or Nate B Duncan on Instagram for me. And it looks best in orange Instagram for Live. We'll talk to y'all next time.